Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If Sean Combs is actually criminally charged and goes to trial, what would his jury look like? Could he get a fair and impartial jury? The new attorney representing his son has reservations about that. We're going to discuss that and a lot more with jury consultant Alan Turkheimer. Welcome to Sidebar, presented by Law and Crime. I'm Jesse Weber. Well, there's something we haven't really talked about much when it comes to the Sean Diddy Combs saga. You know what that is? The jury. Now, you might be saying, and should be saying, what are you talking about, Jesse? Combs hasn't been criminally charged. He hasn't been hit with any crimes yet. And you know what? You are correct. However, I am not the one to bring this up. No, someone connected to this case did. And that raises a very interesting question for us about a potential jury. Let me explain. So as we've been covering here on Sidebar, the rapper, producer, entertainment mogul, he has been hit with massive bombshell lawsuits in the past several months, accusing him of sex trafficking, rape, illegal drug and firearms possession, involvement in shootings. And just last week, two of his properties in LA and Miami were raided by federal agents, more specifically, Homeland Security. Now, Combs' sons, Justin and Christian, they were placed in handcuffs. They were detained. They weren't arrested during these raids. And by the way, neither Combs nor his sons, they have not been arrested or charged, even though reporting indicates these raids are pursuant to an ongoing investigation, possibly into sex trafficking, purportedly by the U.S. Attorney's Office from the Southern District of New York. These are the feds, and a lot of our analysts have said that charges could be forthcoming. Having said that, Jeffrey Lichtman, the famed defense attorney who represented Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, John Gotti Jr., rappers The Game, Fat Joe, it is being reported that he is now representing Justin Combs. And Justin and Christian, by the way, they were both named in the Rodney Jones lawsuit. This was the lawsuit filed by Diddy's former producer. But I should tell you that in the latest news, Christian Combs has been hit with a lawsuit of his own, that a woman claims that she was drugged and sexually abused by Christian Combs. We have a sidebar coming out about that, too. Justin, though, was sued as a defendant by Jones, claimed that he was involved in sex trafficking, that he was involved in a shooting from 2022. Now, Lichtman has been very critical of these raids, particularly the level of militarized force that was used. You had armed agents, vehicles. It was a scene. So on Lichtman's podcast, Beyond the Legal Limit, he talks about the raid saying, quote, "The government is not always good and not always honest and doesn't always play by the rules. In fact, it oftentimes does not play by the rules." He goes on to say, "What bothers me the most about it is not so much the search, the overboard search that occurred on Puff Daddy's two homes, but the fact that the press was certainly told about it either immediately or right before." He goes on to say, quote, "They were all there, ready to record it. They were all there, told about it, and breathlessly reporting what anonymous agents of law enforcement are telling them about what they're looking for, evidence of sex trafficking. That's bad because that's just an evil thing for our government or law enforcement to do." But here is the kicker. Let's listen to what he had to say about a jury.
"By using the press to leak what they're looking for, they're just dirtying a potentially future jury pool. I mean, they use the press to smear Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, for one reason, to deny him a fair trial, to turn public opinion against him. That's un-American."
So that seems to me to be an acknowledgement that a jury is a possibility, that potential charges are a possibility. And that got me thinking, what about a jury in a potential prosecution of Diddy? What would that even look like? For that, let me bring on renowned expert, renowned jury consultant, attorney, psychologist, Alan Turkheimer. Alan, so good to see you. I don't remember the last time you were on Sidebar. If this is your premiere episode of Sidebar, I apologize. I don't remember, but it's good to see you.
You know what? I was a while ago, but
you were. It was too long.
Yeah,
it was too long.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's always too long.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. So first, before we even get into what a potential Diddy jury could look like, okay, talk to me about what you made of Lichtman's comments.
Well, Lichtman's certainly a brawler. He's a fighter. You look at some of the defendants that he's represented, and he's going to get started. He's not going to waste any time. He's not going to hold back. And he wants to, in my mind, put out this counter narrative and start the process going of, hey, look, this is the government's bad. They overreached. My client is not guilty. And so he's just not wasting any time doing it. And he's looking down the road, way down the road, because it seems like it'll be a long time before a jury would get a case if there's charges and a trial and whatnot. But he's a planner. He's playing the long game. And so I think he just wants to get the position out that, hey, this isn't fair.
Well, is he right that the level of these raids and the media attention on these raids could taint a future jury pool for Combs and his sons if they are ultimately criminally charged?
I don't think that's the case. I think a lot has to happen, and there's a lot of safeguards that are built in place to keep this from happening. Now, if you fast forward and look at the whole process, jurors are going to forget, or potential jurors are going to forget. Now, even if they watch this, but so a lot of the
you think the jury so pool, you think they'd really forget this? It's in the news constantly. It was a big deal.
By the time a jury selected, whenever that would be, I think maybe they'll have some recollection of it. But my experience is that jurors would say, "Yeah, I kind of remember he was arrested," but I don't think they would remember what it exactly looked like and what went down. And also, I think jurors, and this is a Southern District jury, they'll draw jurors from the New York County, the Bronx, but then also some of the outlying counties, Putnam, Rockland, and Westchester. And a lot of the jurors that come from those counties, they're not paying close attention to it. And even if some jurors from those counties know a little bit about it or read something about it, by the time trial comes around, there's so many hurdles that have to be overcome for a judge to say, okay, you can't be fair and impartial. You can't serve.
By the way, just speculating here, let's say he is arrested and criminally charged within the next 6 months, okay? When would you see a trial? How long would it be? A federal trial.
So much of that, yeah, it would be another significant period of time after that, months and months, because so much has to take place with the interviews and the questioning and getting everybody ready and lined up. And of course the defense can make motions and everything takes time. So it could be another 6 months, could be up to a year. I don't know. I think a lot of it just depends on the judge that would be on the case. And it wouldn't happen quickly. I mean, in the Southern District, some cases get streamlined, but out of fairness to the defense, there's a lot of motions that would take place and a lot of, I think time would be spent making sure that they did it right and didn't just run this roughshod through the process.
Let me ask you this, though. The allegation that Lichtman makes that the government was coordinating with the media, even if that is not true, is that an argument that he could make when it comes to jury selection?
You could say to the judge that, look at all this attention, and you have to support it with facts. You can't just say this was on the news a lot. I think that what his team would have to do is they'd have to hire someone to study the venue. And there's people that do this. There's jury consultants do this. They look at a venue, they do surveys, and they reach a swath of the veneer and ask them what they know about the case and whether or not they formed an opinion, and then whether or not they can let go of that opinion and give P. Diddy, Sean Combs, a fair and impartial look at the evidence. And I think there's a good chance that they could do that.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. you should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You mentioned this a little bit, but talk to me about what would a federal jury selection process look like? Again, assuming Combs and or his sons are criminally charged, they're hit with federal charges in the Southern District, what would a federal jury selection process look like?
Very different from state court. It's going to be very different from what we're going to see in a couple of weeks with Trump's trial in Manhattan, because unlike in Manhattan in a state case, where lawyers get to ask the questions and get to deeply probe the individuals who could potentially serve on a jury, that's usually not the case in a federal trial. Now, the judges have some discretion. In a case like this, I think it's going to be clear that the jurors do have to be asked in depth about what they know about the case and what their attitudes are, whether or not they made up their minds. But it's not going to take as long as a state case would be. So the judge will either be right there involved, or at least somebody in the court, and they'll go through the jurors and they'll just have to flat out ask them what they know about the case, whether they formed an opinion, and whether or not they can set that aside. So it could be streamlined. It's the Southern District can be unpredictable. You can pick a jury. It can take a week to pick a jury, or a judge can just say, we're picking a jury and we're doing openings tomorrow, and it could be a day. So there's a lot of...
You mentioned the different counties. Where would they go to get a jury pool? How would they send out summons? Would they do some sort of questionnaire before they even bring jurors in for voir dire?
I would think so, yes. So they would. Now, this is a lot of the jurors are going to come from New York County and Bronx County, but then some are going to come from some of the outlying counties like Westchester and Rockland and Putnam. But either way, I think the best thing to do would be to send out maybe 500 to maybe even 750 questionnaires so that they get a sense of somebody, the people that have followed it closely, have made up their minds, and either they've embraced Lichtman's perspective and just on their questionnaire, they write, this is a witch hunt. I know that's maybe not for this case, but this is the government's overreaching and it's unfair. P. Diddy's being persecuted. Or on the other end, they would say things unflattering of Sean Combs. Those jurors then, if they fill out a questionnaire ahead of time, then most likely would not be invited to the next phase. Whereas if you send out 500 questionnaires, maybe 125, then end up getting called in. They don't know that much about the case. They have made up their mind. And then they start more in-depth questioning in person. And to reach them, I think this was part of your question, it's usually, from my understanding, either voter registration or state ID, their voter rolls from the DMV. Also, they can get information on who to call in.
So let's say you get jurors brought into court and you have both sides question them during the voir dire process, right? What kind of questions would they be asked by the government, and what kind of questions would they be asked by Combs' defense attorneys?
Sure. So you're going to ask, both sides are going to want some general questions asked of the participants. They want to know who they are, how they think, what kind of juror they're going to be. And they're also going to ask some pretty case-specific questions about this matter. Now, the general ones are just about what do they think about prosecutions in general, about the government. The government has to worry about people who are skeptical of charges, people who are very pro-defendant, maybe just think that the government does tend to overreach in line with what Lichtman was saying. And then the defense is going to worry about people who think that, well, there's smoke, there's fire. Do they think that whenever there's a prosecution of somebody, a crime was probably committed? And then they're going to also get into the case specifics. They're going to ask about some very personal stuff about being a victim of sexual assault, of sex crimes. Does this ever happen to you or someone close to you? And it doesn't necessarily indicate if somebody's going to be good for the prosecution or bad, but it's probably not a good case they should sit on. And somebody might... You might think that if somebody's a victim of sexual assault, the defense would not want that person there because that matches the allegations. That's probably generally true. Sometimes if you're a victim of something, you see yourself differently as another victim in a circumstance, but that's going to be a large part of the case specific probing that takes place about their experiences and maybe even some attitudes about sexual assault. Do they think it's more prevalent than it gets reported? Is it underreported? It'll be very interesting to hear the voir dire in this case.
I agree. And do you think that the backgrounds of the jurors would be important for either the government or Combs in terms of education, in terms of socioeconomic status, in terms of profession? You know, who would the government maybe prefer, and who would Combs more prefer?
Yeah, it's good to know and get a good picture of what makes a juror tick, and certainly their backgrounds and their education. It's a pretty educated venue. So a lot of jurors in the Southern District have bachelor's degrees, graduate degrees. And I guess each side has to figure out, all right, how do we win? Is it better for the prosecution to have detail-oriented jurors, or is it better to have big-picture jurors? And then they can say, all right, well, if somebody's an engineer, they're pretty mechanical, and this is how they think about things, versus somebody who's maybe a social worker, and this is how the social worker would assess things. So yes, as it gets close, they're going to scrutinize all the jurors. They're going to not only be able to look at the questionnaire responses and ask some questions, but they're going to have teams on both sides that are going to dig into the social media backgrounds to see they're posting. Are they posted on, if not just this, if they posted on anything about sexual assault or the Me Too movement
or Diddy
or, yeah, exactly. Or Diddy, and anything that gets them more information so they can have a better sense of who they want to strike.
And let me be very clear about this. So Combs, neither Combs nor his sons, they have not been criminally charged. We did an episode, a previous sidebar, about what potential charges could look like. And obviously, there are comparisons based on the allegations, based on what we're hearing from the raids. There are comparisons between what a potential federal prosecution of Diddy would look like compared to R. Kelly. And the reason I say that is because R. Kelly was prosecuted federally in New York. If you can, do you remember what some of the challenges were in the Kelly jury selection process, or how that might be compared to what a Diddy jury selection process would be like?
If I recall correctly, I think they were able to move through it pretty efficiently. I don't remember the major stumbling blocks or hurdles in that case. I'm sure that some of them existed. I'm sure the defense would point that out.
The reason I ask is because you had such a high-profile individual who was accused of heinous, heinous crimes. And in the same way where Diddy has been in pop culture, he's been in the music industry for decades, I see these kind of similarities. And I guess the main question I have to ask you, Alan, is do you think Sean Combs, if he's criminally charged, can get a fair an impartial jury?
The answer to that is yes. I think there's so many factors built into the process that ultimately, when you start with sending out these questionnaires, whether it's 500 or 700 or 800, then you winnow it down. By the time you get to the jurors who come in for questioning, ultimately you're going to see jurors in the box who I think both sides would have to agree, and the judge too, can be fair and impartial. So I do think he can get a fair shake. And you're right, the R. Kelly trial, I just think that also both sides have to be aware of, they're going to have to tell the jurors and voir dire, somehow convey to them that you're going to hear some pretty specific allegations. Some are very graphic and hard to understand and grasp just because of the sexual nature. And you might get some jurors that just say, I can't do this. Even if it's not an experience that they personally had, it's just not for everybody.
And how long it could take, right? If you're dealing with a racketeering or sex trafficking case, those can take some time. And can jurors take that time off?
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think both sides probably, but usually there's one of the sides versus the other, maybe more so. But you want people who can pay attention to the evidence, that are going to listen, follow along. You want generally productive members of society. And if you're a productive member of society, it's not the easiest thing to take 6 months off. Each side has to look out for a stealth juror trying to get on the case to influence the jury in a way that they have a predetermined outcome in mind. So that's something they should also watch out for. If somebody thinks, hey, I'm going to be the one that saves Sean Combs, then I want on this jury. Or from the prosecution standpoint, you might have pro-prosecution jurors that say, oh, this is despicable, and I'm going to get on there. I'm going to make sure that he goes to jail.
And that's why you have to really do a very thorough analysis of the questions you ask these jurors, do a background on these jurors to find out who they are. But we're not at that point yet. Again, this is still the investigation. We do not know what role Combs or his sons play in this whatsoever, but we will wait and see. Alan Turkheimer, thank you so much.
Always fun. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, everybody, that is all we have for you right now here on Sidebar. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jesse Weber. I'll speak to you next time.